Numbers 16:41 through Numbers 18. But on the next day, all the congregation of the sons of Israel grumbled against Moses and Aaron, saying, "You are the ones who have caused the death of the Lord's people." It came about, however, when the congregation had assembled against Moses and Aaron, that they turned toward the tent of meeting, and behold, the cloud covered it, and the glory of the Lord appeared. Then Moses and Aaron came to the front of the tent of meeting, and the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Get away from among this congregation, so that I may consume them instantly." Then they fell on their faces, and Moses said to Aaron, "Take your censer and put fire in it from the altar, and place incense on it. Then bring it quickly to the congregation, and make atonement for them, for wrath has gone out from the Lord. The plague has begun." Then Aaron took it just as Moses had spoken, and he ran into the midst of the assembly. And behold, the plague had begun among the people. So he put on the incense and made atonement for the people. And he took his stand between the dead and the living, so that the plague was brought to a halt. But those who died by the plague were 14,700 in number, besides those who died on account of Korah. Then Aaron returned to Moses at the entrance of the tent of meeting, for the plague had been brought to a halt. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to the sons of Israel, and obtain from them a staff for each father's household, 12 staffs from all their leaders for their father's households. You shall write each man's name on his staff, and write Aaron's name on the staff of Levi, for there is to be one staff for the head of each of their father's households. You shall then leave them in the tent of meeting in front of the testimony, where I meet with you. And it will come about that the staff of the man whom I choose will sprout. So I will relieve myself of the grumblings of the sons of Israel who are grumbling against you." So Moses spoke to the sons of Israel, and all their leaders gave him a staff, one for each leader, for their father's households, 12 staffs in all, with the staff of Aaron among their staffs. Then Moses left the staffs before the Lord in the tent of the testimony. Now on the next day, Moses went into the tent of the testimony, and behold, Aaron's staff for the house of Levi had sprouted, and produced buds, and bloomed with blossoms, and it yielded ripe almonds. Moses then brought out all the staffs from the presence of the Lord to all the sons of Israel, and they looked, and each man took his staff. But the Lord said to Moses, "Put the staff of Aaron back in front of the testimony to be kept as a sign against the rebels, so that you may put an end to their grumblings against me, and they do not die." Moses did so, just as the Lord had commanded him, so he did. Then the sons of Israel spoke to Moses, saying, "Behold, we are passing away, we are perishing, we are all perishing. Everyone who comes near to the tabernacle of the Lord, must die. Are we to perish completely?" So the Lord said to Aaron, "You, your sons, and your father's household with you shall bear the guilt in connection with the sanctuary. You and your sons with you shall bear the guilt in connection with your priesthood. But also bring your brothers with you, the tribe of Levi, the tribe of your father, so that they may join you and serve you, while you and your sons with you are before the tent of the testimony. And they shall perform duties for you, and the duties of the whole tent, but they shall not come near the furnishings of the sanctuary and the altar, or both they and you will die. They shall join you and perform the duties of the tent of meeting, for all the service of the tent, but an unauthorized person shall not come near you, So you shall perform the duties of the sanctuary and the duties of the altar, so that there will no longer be wrath on the sons of Israel. Behold, I myself have taken your fellow Levites from among the sons of Israel. They are a gift to you, dedicated to the Lord, to perform the service for the tent of meeting. But you and your sons with you shall attend to your priesthood for everything that concerns the altar and inside the veil, and you are to perform service. I am giving you the priesthood as a service that is a gift, and the unauthorized person who comes near shall be put to death. Then the Lord spoke to Aaron, Now behold, I myself have put you in charge of my offerings. All the holy gifts of the sons of Israel I have given to you as a portion, and to your sons as a permanent allotment. This shall be yours, from the most holy gifts reserved from the fire, every offering of theirs, namely every grain offering, every sin offering, and every guilt offering, with which they shall make restitution to me, shall be most holy for you and for your sons. As the most holy gifts, you shall eat it. Every male shall eat it. It shall be holy to you. This also is yours. The offering of their guilt, that is, all the wave offerings of the sons of Israel, I have given them to you, and to your sons and daughters, with you, as a permanent allotment. Every one of your household who is clean may eat it. All the best of the fresh oil, and all the best of the fresh wine and of the grain, the first fruits of what they give to the Lord, I have given them to you, the first ripe fruits of all that is in their land, which they bring to the Lord, shall be yours. Every one of your household who is clean may eat it. Everything banned from secular use in Israel shall be yours. Every firstborn of the womb of all flesh, whether human or animal, which they offer to the Lord, shall be yours. However, you must redeem the human firstborn, and the firstborn of unclean animals you shall redeem. As to their redemption price, from a month old you shall redeem them, by your assessment, 5 shekels in the silver by the shekel of the sanctuary, which is 20 gerahs. But the firstborn of an ox, the firstborn of a sheep, or the firstborn of a goat, you shall not redeem. They are holy. You shall sprinkle their blood on the altar, and offer up their fat in smoke as an offering by fire, for a soothing aroma to the Lord. However, their meat shall be yours. It shall be yours like the breast of a wave offering, and like the right thigh. All the offerings of the holy gifts which the sons of Israel offer to the Lord, I have given to you, and your sons, and your daughters with you, as a permanent allotment. It is a permanent covenant of salt before the Lord to you and your descendants with you. Then the Lord said to Aaron, You shall have no inheritance in their land, nor own any portion among them. I am your portion, and your inheritance, among the sons of Israel. To the sons of Levi, behold, I have given all the tithe in Israel as an inheritance. In return for their service, which they perform, the service of the tent of meeting. And the sons of Israel shall not come near the tent of meeting again, or they will bring sin on themselves and die. Only the Levites shall perform the service of the tent of meeting, and they shall bear their own guilt. It shall be a permanent statute throughout your generations, and among the sons of Israel they shall have no inheritance. For the tithe of the sons of Israel, which they offer as a grain offering to the Lord, I have given to the Levites as an inheritance. Therefore, I have said concerning them, they shall have no inheritance among the sons of Israel. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, Moreover, you shall speak to the Levites, and say to them, When you take from the sons of Israel, the tithe which I have given you from them for your inheritance, then you shall present an offering from it to the Lord, a tithe of a tithe. Your offering shall be credited to you, like the grain from the threshing floor, or the full produce from the wine vat. So you shall present an offering to the Lord from all your tithes, which you receive from the sons of Israel. And from it you shall give the Lord's offering to Aaron the priest. Out of all your gifts you shall present every offering due to the Lord, from all the best of them, the sacred part of them. And you shall say to them, when you have offered from it the best of it, then the rest shall be credited to the Levites like the product of the threshing floor, and like the product of the wine vat. You may eat it anywhere, you and your households, for it is your compensation in return for your service in the tent of meeting. And you will bring on yourselves no sin by reason of it when you have offered the best of it, but you shall not profane the sacred gifts of the sons of Israel, so that you do not die. John 2. On the third day, there was a wedding in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there, and both Jesus and his disciples were invited to the wedding. When the wine ran out, the mother of Jesus said to him, "They have no wine." And Jesus said to her, "What business do you have with me, woman? My hour has not yet come." His mother said to the servants, "Whatever he tells you, do it." Now there were 6 stone water pots standing there for the Jewish custom of purification, containing 2 or 3 measures each. Jesus said to them, "Fill the water pots with water." So they filled them up to the brim. And he said to them, "Draw some out now and take it to the head waiter." And they took it to him. Now when the head waiter tasted the water, which had become wine, and did not know where it had came from, but the servants who had drawn the water knew, the head waiter called the groom and said to him, "Every man serves the good wine first, and when the guests are drunk, then he serves the poorer wine. But you have kept the good wine until now." This beginning of his signs Jesus did in Cana of Galilee, and revealed his glory, and his disciples believed in him. After this, he went down to Capernaum, he and his mother, and his brothers and his disciples, and they stayed there a few days. The Passover of the Jews was near, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem, and within the temple grounds he found those who were selling oxen, sheep, and doves, and the money changers seated at their tables. And he made a whip of cords, and drove them all out of the temple area, with the sheep and the oxen. And he poured out the coins of the money changers, and overturned their tables. And to those who were selling the doves, he said, "Take these things away from here. Stop making my father's house a place of business." His disciples remembered that it was written, "Zeal for your house will consume me." The Jews then said to him, "What sign do you show us as your authority for doing these things?" Jesus answered them, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." The Jews then said, "It took 46 years to build this temple, yet you will raise it up in 3 days?" But he was speaking about the temple of his body. So when he was raised from the dead, his disciples remembered that he said this, and they believed the scripture and the word which Jesus had spoken. Now, when he was in Jerusalem at the Passover, during the feast, many believed in his name as they observed his signs which he was doing. But Jesus, on his part, was not entrusting himself to them, because he knew all people, and because he did not need anyone to testify about mankind, for he himself knew what was in mankind. 2 Corinthians 1. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and our brother Timothy, to the church of God which is at Corinth, with all the saints who are throughout Achaia, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our affliction, so that we will be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. For just as the sufferings of Christ are ours in abundance, so also our comfort is abundant through Christ. But if we are afflicted, it is for your comfort and salvation. Or if we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which is effective in the patient enduring of the same sufferings which we also suffer. And our hope for you is firmly grounded, knowing that as you are partners in our sufferings, so also you are in our comfort. For we do not want you to be unaware, brothers and sisters, of our affliction which occurred in Asia, that we were burdened excessively, beyond our strength, so that we despaired even of life. Indeed, we had the sentence of death within ourselves, so that we would not trust in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead, who rescued us from so great a danger of death, and will rescue us, he on whom we have set our hope. And he will yet deliver us, if you also join in helping us through your prayers, so that thanks may be given by many persons in our behalf for the favor granted to us through the prayers of many. For our proud confidence is this, the testimony of our conscience, that in holiness and godly sincerity, not in fleshly wisdom, but in the grace of God, we have conducted ourselves in the world, and especially toward you. For we write nothing else to you than what you read and understand, and I hope you will understand until the end, just as you partially did understand us, that we are your reason to be proud, as you also are ours, on the day of our Lord Jesus. In this confidence, I intended at first to come to you, so that you might twice receive a blessing, that is, to pass your way into Macedonia, and again from Macedonia come to you, and by you to be helped on my journey to Judea. Therefore, I was not vacillating when I intended to do this, was I? Or what I decide, do I decide according to the flesh, so that with me there will be yes, yes and no, no at the same time? But God is faithful. Our word to you is not yes and no. For the Son of God, Christ Jesus, who was preached among you by us, by me, and Silvanus and Timothy, was not yes and no, but has been yes in him. For as many as the promises of God are, in him they are yes. Therefore, through him, also is our Amen to the glory of God through us. Now he who establishes us with you in Christ and anointed us is God, who also sealed us and gave us the Spirit in our hearts as a pledge. But I call God as a witness to my soul, that it was to spare you that I did not come again to Corinth, not that we domineer over your faith, but we are workers with you for your joy, for in your faith you are standing firm. Proverbs 25:1-10. These also are proverbs of Solomon, which the men of Hezekiah, king of Judah, transcribed. It is the glory of God to conceal a matter, but the glory of kings is to search out a matter. As the heavens for height, and the earth for depth, so the heart of kings is unsearchable. Take away the impurities from the silver, and there comes out a vessel for the smith. Take away the wicked before the king, and his throne will be established in righteousness. Do not boast in the presence of the king, and do not stand in the same place as great people, for it is better that it be said to you, "Come up here," than for you to be placed lower in the presence of the prince, whom your eyes have seen. Do not go out hastily to argue your case. Otherwise, what will you do in the end when your neighbor humiliates you? Argue your case with your neighbor, and do not reveal the secret of another, or one who hears it will put you to shame, and the evil report about you will not pass away. Psalm 55. Listen to my prayer, God, and do not hide yourself from my pleading. Give your attention to me and answer me. I am restless in my complaint and severely distracted because of the voice of my enemy, because of the pressure of the wicked, for they bring down trouble upon me, and in anger they hold a grudge against me. My heart is in anguish within me, and the terrors of death have fallen upon me. Fear and trembling come upon me, and horror has overwhelmed me. I said, "Oh, that I had wings like a dove! I would fly away and be at rest. Behold, I would flee far away. I would spend my nights in the wilderness. I would hurry to my place of refuge from the stormy wind and heavy gale. Confuse them, Lord. Divide their tongues, for I have seen violence and strife in the city. Day and night they go around her upon her walls, and evil and harm are in her midst. Destruction is in her midst. Oppression and deceit do not depart from her streets, for it is not an enemy who taunts me. Then I could endure it. Nor is it one who hates me who has exalted himself against me. Then I could hide myself from him. But it is you, a man my equal, my companion and my confidant. We who had sweet fellowship together walked in the house of God among the commotion. May death come deceitfully upon them. May they go down alive to Sheol. For evil is in their dwelling, in their midst. As for me, I shall call upon God, and the Lord will save me. Evening and morning, and at noon, I will complain and moan, and he will hear my voice. He will redeem my soul in peace from the battle which is against me. For they are many who are aggressive toward me. God will hear and humiliate them. Even the one who sits enthroned from ancient times, with whom there is no change, and who do not fear God. He has put forth his hands against those who are at peace with him. He has violated his covenant. His speech was smoother than butter, but his heart was war. His words were softer than oil, yet they were drawn swords. Cast your burden upon the Lord, and he will sustain you. He will never allow the righteous to be shaken. But you, God, will bring them down to the pit of destruction. Men of bloodshed and deceit will not live out half their days. But I will trust in you.